Copper Shores Community Health Foundation is pleased to announce a scholarship program for non-traditional students in Baraga, Houghton, Keweenaw, and Onondaga counties. Copper Shores will award three $2,000 scholarships to students wishing to pursue a post-secondary education. Students must be intending to seek a post-secondary degree or certification and be enrolled full-time to receive the full scholarship. Applications must be postmarked, emailed, or delivered to Copper Shores no later than Friday, July 21st. Learn more about scholarships and other opportunities within Copper Shores Community Health Foundation at coppershores.org.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today on this Sunday morning. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We're brought to you by the Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. You can find out more about them at coppershores.org. And I do want to mention that their second annual community-wide picnic has been set, and it will take place Sunday afternoon, July 30th at 3 o'clock at Launce Waterfront Park, which is a beautiful location. They'll have a lot of vendors and activities there. They'll have food provided for those who attend. Everybody is welcome. It's open to the public. You'll hear more about this over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure, but I wanted to give you notice that it will be July 30th, a Sunday afternoon, at 3 o'clock at Launce Waterfront Park. So we're on the tough topics this morning. The first one we tried to address and didn't solve, but at least we kind of illuminated it in the first segment, is the problem of affordable housing here in the Copper Country. The second problem is sort of related to it, and that is something that has really grown up over the last several years. We have a real shortage of affordable daycare now in the Copper Country, and this is reflecting itself in a number of different ways in our community. So I welcome in Iola Brubaker from the Keweenaw Family Resource Center. Iola, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Todd.
And Julie Catherino from the Great Start to Quality organization is here. Julie, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
What is this is a new one for me. What is the Great Start to Quality organization?
Sure. So I work for the Upper Peninsula Resource Center, and we are the main support for all child care providers in the UP. So I service the counties in the western part of the UP as a quality improvement specialist. And what that means is that we bring them resources, trainings that they need, any grant support that they're looking for, any social-emotional consultations. We help to connect them with people that can work with them and help them with any sort of challenges that they're facing within their child cares.
All right. There are so many layers of these organizations across the area. I tend to get a little confused wandering through them sometime. And this is the first I've heard of yours, and I'm glad to learn about it, and I'm glad that there's an organization out there that basically provides support to people who are providing child care.
Yes.
So let's talk about the problem a little bit here, Iola. This all of a sudden seems to have surfaced. I can't imagine, though, that this suddenly popped up and became a problem.
No, this is not a sudden new problem. This is a problem that has been growing in the Copper Country over a number of years. The pandemic in 2020 and 2021 just really highlighted the issues that families were already facing related to childcare. Right now in Houghton County, we have 1,300 children between birth and age 5 that have all their parents in the workforce. That means if it's a single parent house, mom works or dad works, and if it's a married couple, both parents are working. But we only have enough childcare slots for 400 of those children.
So we've got 900 kids that need somebody to watch after them during the summers and after schools and on days off from school and such.
Well, this is not counting school age. This is just 0 to 5 before they start school.
Oh, this is just 0 to 5. Oh, my
word. Yeah, our school age ones, that problem is then compounded because, you know, when there's a snow day, your hospitals don't close. Parents still have to go to work. When, you know, summer breaks and winter breaks, when our traditional school systems are closed, most of us are still working. And so that problem gets compounded out during what we call out of school time.
You mentioned the pandemic. That really brought this to a fore because all of a sudden, a number of the child cares in the area kind of shut down because of fears of COVID-19. People were working at home. People weren't. Everything just got completely upended. And all of a sudden, we had parents who had to go to work. They had no place to send the kids.
Yeah, and even working at home with your kids there is not even necessarily a great solution to this because some families are doing that. But it's hard to split your time between focusing on what your child needs and what your job needs. During the pandemic, they said that the number one visit to U of M during the first few months was not COVID. It was actually injury from a child not being closely supervised.
Sure, because if you're at your screen, you're in a meeting of some sort, the child is perhaps being babysat by the television, which we know is not a great thing, and running around unsupervised, and you've got a problem.
And I know many work-at-home parents that do an excellent job of coordinating both things. So I'm not saying it can't be done. I just
no
say
broad
it's really,
here.
Really hard. And those parents that can do it, I applaud them. They do amazing work.
And I suppose it depends, too, a little bit on how many kids you have, the ages of those kids. If you've got one who's old enough to kind of keep an eye on the little ones, or if they're all under the age of three, a lot of variables there.
Yeah, and so, so that's one way people are solving the problem right now is they are doing creative work solutions. But the need is just there. 58% of parents during the pandemic left the workforce to care for a child or an elderly parent. And the child care issue is not just a parent issue. It's a community issue. Right now, there is nearly 100 empty beds at Canal View long-term care facility because they cannot staff those beds. And part of that is because their workforce has had to stay home with their kids because they don't have child care.
They don't have child care. And that was the big reason why I saw something a few months ago that I never thought I would see. I saw a Republican-based county board of commissioners, Republican-dominated. Republicans have always, on the conservative side, said that child care is a family issue. It's not a public issue. And all of a sudden, from their COVID money, the Houghton County Board of Commissioners allocated $200,000 to look into providing solutions for childcare because they looked at their facility, Canal View, and said, we can't get people in here to work for us. We've got to do something.
Yeah, and it's not just Canal View. I've talked to Calumet Electronics. I've talked to all the local schools. I've talked to Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center, UP Health System Portage. My own organization, which only has 8 employees and only one with young children, I have trouble every – I have missed work hours every week because of childcare struggles.
Well, and there is a financial aspect that comes to this too, because as childcare has become a little bit more scarce, the price has gone up a little bit. It's not inexpensive to put your child in daycare for 40 hours a week. And a lot of people who are working jobs that are, $25,000 a year, by the time you do the math.
Well, $100,000 a year. Do you know the average cost of childcare in the state of Michigan is well over $10,000 a year? So if you have $100,000 a year income, so that's not low, right?
Yeah.
And you have two kids under 5, you're spending $20,000 to $25,000 on childcare easily, if you can find a slot.
If you can find a slot.
Yeah.
And obviously that problem compounds for somebody who might be making that $30,000 a year they might be offering at a medical care facility.
Yeah, and there is some state aid for low-income households for child care subsidy, so the state does have programs that can help, but the child care shortage has caused that to be an underutilized program because why would you do the extra paperwork if you already have a paying parent and you know they're going to pay because they have to? So there's, in May, we only had 10 kids in the entire county take advantage of the state subsidy for child care.
Oh, and I know we have more that would qualify than that.
Oh, absolutely.
We would have hundreds that would qualify.
Right.
So.
And so just some of that things. I have talked to people who are in professional fields that are paying 25 up to 50% of their income for child care just so they can work.
Yeah.
And I actually have talked to two families now that are actually planning their next child based on when their oldest will go into school because they can't afford to have two kids in childcare. So this is compounding. People tell me all the time it's not my issue. And I'm like, when you can't get a seat at a restaurant, when you have to wait 3 weeks to get your car repaired, when you can't get your elderly relative into a long-term care facility, when you are waiting 2 weeks to go to the doctors, tell me this is not your issue.
And that's the thing that I think the county board woke up to. When they looked at Canal View and they said, okay, Canal View is our facility, but all, Calumet Electronics, you mentioned, mm-hmm. I know the frustration that they have had with this situation. And basically, there are now a lot of people who are looking at the math and one parent is staying home because it doesn't pay for them to go out and get the job and work. And that, you know, there are restaurants that have closed
right
here in the Copper Country. There are restaurants that used to be open 6 or 7 days a week that are open now 4 or 5 days a week. There are other places, as you mentioned, I know my my mechanic, I just scheduled car repairs a month away. I hope it lasts until then.
Yeah, and this, and it's such an issue. You just can't even fathom the economic impact the lack of childcare is having on the community. But on the positive side, you know, investments like Houghton County Commissioners at $200,000, which we haven't quite figured out how it's going to be used yet, just so you know. But that type of investment, it's been shown that every dollar we invest in early childhood, that 0 to 5 population, has a $16 return, which is huge. That return comes in increased economics in the community, reduced special education in the school system, all the way up to, like, in young adulthood, that they rely less on services if they have a solid start. And that's where Julie comes in and making sure that the programs we do have are quality.
Indeed. Talking with Iola Brubaker from the Keweenaw Family Resource Center and Julie Catherino from Great Start to Quality. Julie, let's talk about child care and particularly that early child care, those first several years before you get to kindergarten. That's critical in child development because if mom and dad aren't going to be there, there at least has to be somebody there who cares about them as much as mom and dad. You can't just warehouse these kids.
That's correct. And we do know that the brain develops so much in those first 3 years of life, and children are heavily impacted by the care that they do receive. And so if we can have these quality child care providers taking care of these children like they are their own, because that's what happens when you go into child care, you do it because you love children and you love to have their best interests at heart. But we just need more qualified people coming into the field, or people who have that passion that would be willing to work with my organization. And all of our services are free. We come in and we help you. If you don't have the tools that you need, we give them to you and help you to provide that quality care.
Has this knowledge about the importance of those first few years, we've learned so much about that over the past couple of decades, has this knowledge put additional pressure on child care providers? I mean, my son was young. We went to daycare. He, you know, the neighborhood neighbor lady watched him. You know, there was no formal structure there. She just watched him. She was a nice lady and did a great job.
Of course.
But, you know, there was no formal structure there. They weren't teaching him his numbers or things of that nature.
Yeah.
What is the obligation now of a child care provider, particularly in those early years?
Sure. So all licensed child care providers have a minimum professional development requirement from licensing every year. So a home provider, I'm trying to think if it's, maybe it's 10 hours, and a center, someone who works for a child care facility, theirs is a 16-hour requirement for all staff to take professional development training hours that are specifically designed towards child development or some aspect of caring for children.
Does this educational requirement and this training, does this put people off who might be happy to take a couple of kids in during the day but not want to jump through all those hoops?
Well, yes. I wouldn't say it's the training hours, more so the different requirements of licensing. The licensing process can be a little bit scary for some who have never done anything through the state before, but there are people out there to help. Again, myself would be helping people in our area. Also, the state has a program called Our Strong Start, and they have people called navigators who are designed to help walk someone through that process of getting licensed.
And Julie, can you tell people a little bit about some of the opportunities if they were interested in starting their home child care in within their own home?
Sure.
There's some great opportunities in the state of Michigan right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, look at the number of kids who need child care.
Right.
Look at the amount of money that child care can bring in. And for an entrepreneur, this would be an opportunity here.
For sure. So currently right now, for a program that starts the application process, this could be someone who is looking for doing childcare in their home, or if they were opening a facility, there are pre-licensure grants available for a program prior to getting that license.
And so these would set off some of the offset, the cost of getting things where they need to be to open.
Okay.
And upon getting their license, those programs are eligible for a startup grant. And that grant is designed to, again, help with those costs of getting materials or possibly even helping to pay for rent or mortgage. If you're using your own home, you can use these grants to pay for some of those business costs as well. And the only thing I will note about these is that they're going to be remaining open only through September 30th of this year.
Oh.
Yes.
Because so there's a sense of urgency
these
here.
These are ARPA funds. So
okay.
The money needs to be spent in a certain amount of time, so they can only keep them open for so long.
Okay, yeah. So
the opportunity is now.
Using those ARPA funds. Now, there have to be different levels of child care. I mean, I can see, you know, like I had with my son many years ago, I think there were two kids in the home who this family took care of. Obviously, there are people who do this in their home, maybe have a few more kids in the home. Then there are people who set this up in standalone facilities and take even more kids. Explain, are there different levels of licensure, and are there different levels of responsibility that come along with what you're planning to do and how many kids you're planning to host?
Yes. So if you are a person wanting to open in your home, so you would be considered a family home provider, you can have up to 6 children in your care. And there are certain stipulations for the ages that you're allowed to have, because we do know that small children take more time, energy, and attention. And so the infant age, you can only have a certain number of those versus your 4-year-olds, you can have a few more of those.
Yeah.
And then if you were able to and interested in having a group home, that would give you a license of up to 12 children in your family home. And so those are the two different home licensures. If you are interested in a center, that has its own. It depends on the building for how many children you can have in your building and the different stipulations that licensing has with that.
Now, at what point do I need help? I mean, you're talking about 6 kids in the home, maybe 12 kids in the home. At some point, I can't run around after a dozen kids, even if it's in my house.
Yes, you're correct. So if you do have a group home, that would mean if you're taking up to 12 children, you would need to have an assistant.
Yeah, in the home, it's a 1-6 ratio.
Okay, and at that point, you cross a line into payroll and IRS things and reporting and a whole lot of accounting.
Yes.
Is there help through your organization for that?
Not at this time. We are looking into what those solutions could be. Because you're right, that is stuff that people don't know when they're getting into this. But I think the really great thing about the UP as a whole is that if someone is currently running a very wonderful group home, they're willing to mentor someone who's interested in starting their own group home business.
Okay.
So we do have the childcare provider community is very welcoming, and they uplift each other because they are working at home with children all day, and that can feel isolating, so they need those connections.
And it's not as if there's a shortage of potential clients, so it's not as if you're really in competition with one another at this point. Are there, I won't ask for any names, but are there people that you know of here in this area that would take on that role as a mentor?
We have a number of people that would be a mentor, and we have a number of programs that are in pre-licensure. I think we added those up to, if everyone who's in pre-licensure right now that are working on their license, that would add another 60 slots to our community, but that still leaves 840. So, like, in order for us to meet the need with just home centers, we would have to open 100 new home centers. And that's, you know,
yeah, that's
so
not going to happen.
You'll be successful if you open. You meet the requirements and you open, you can be as busy as you want to be. But we are looking at multiple. We're working with home providers for that 6 to 12 service. We're looking with some large organizations to open larger centers of 75 to 100 students. But, you know, we need 10 large ones or 100 little ones or some combination in there. So if anyone has a resource and they want to know more about the opportunities of some of the projects in process, they can reach out to me.
How much pressure comes with this? Because obviously, let's say I'm doing this in my home. I've got 6 kids coming in from 4 different families. I get sick. Mm-hmm. I have to call them and say, gosh, you can't bring the kids today because it wouldn't be healthy to bring them over to the house. Now the dominoes start falling backward. How much pressure is there as a provider to make sure that you are there? It's not something you can just wake up in the morning and say, I don't feel like it today.
You're absolutely correct about that. And I do know that some of our providers feel that very deeply, and even trying to schedule their own health appointments or going to the dentist or things like that, they need to make sure that it can line up with what's going to work for their families. So they do take those sort of things into consideration.
So let's assume that there is this pressure that people feel. Is there an option? Do people set up little networks saying, hey, I can't take my kids today, but maybe you could take one and you could take one and you could take one?
If only we had the number of child care providers we needed, that
if everybody
wasn't full,
you could do that.
Yes, but no, at this time, that's not an option, unfortunately.
And a substitute pool is one of the things that people have been discussing for a while in order to fill that, but there just hasn't, because of the other needs, that has not been in the forefront to be addressed at this point.
I was downstate recently and happened upon a new housing complex, low-income housing complex that had been built in the Kalamazoo area, and they included with it 24-hour child care.
There's some amazing models in the state of Michigan. That's one of the ones that people have been talking about. There's also models that are co-locating inside of long-term care facilities, like Canalview is considering. I don't know exactly where that project is, but that's one of the things that's been on the table. There's models that, the schools are looking at what they can do. So people are looking at outside-the-box thinking, but what we need is a team of individuals in the community that are passionate about it and willing to take on this as an issue and work to address it, because it's multifaceted.
But it brings up the prospect that not all child care is 9-to-5 child care. You know, you've got organizations here that are running second shifts, third shifts. Where does that child care come from?
Right now, there is no one who provides second or third shift child care in our community. So they are relying on their friends and neighbors. And that can put children at risk. Most of the parents do their due diligence to figure out. But if neighbor says, oh, yeah, I can take your kids overnight, the neighbor might not be background checked. You just don't know.
Well, and you talked about the challenges of the accrediting process, but there's a reason that we have to go through that, because our children are precious.
Yes.
There are people who are looking at the child care business and saying, hey, 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 that gives me access. And if we don't do all of these background checks and all of this official paperwork, the chances of somebody who we don't want in the system getting into the system, that goes up rather significantly.
Yes, in fact, that is a great example of why the licensing process is as it is. It is for the health and safety of children.
Yeah, you want to make sure that, the cabinets are locked where they keep their cleaning supplies, because not all incidents with children are intentional. Some of it is just, oops, I didn't know, or I didn't think about that. And that's why we have a licensing system.
And at some point, power of attorney and authority to get health care. If the child is at the neighbor and you can't get mom and dad, you take them to the hospital, you've got problems there in terms of authorization for health care and HIPAA and things of that nature.
Yeah, so. And it's not just health care that does second and third shift. Canalview is a 24/7 24/7, 365 days a year facility, but you also have your police and you have your safety. And then we're starting to see more second and third shift jobs in our manufacturers as our economy grows.
Yeah.
And that's all providing unique challenges.
And you have people who work weekends. We talked about the service business, restaurants and things like that. They need staff on weekends when childcare is available maybe Monday through Friday. So that's not the... a quick call somebody could make, Julie Catherino, if they're interested in getting something like this started, how do they contact you and your organization?
Sure. So they can go to greatstarttoquality.org. That's our website for the whole state. And they can find the resource center there. They're also welcome to contact me directly. Do you want me to give my phone number?
If you want.
That's fine, yeah. So, again, my name is Julie, and anyone interested in opening a childcare business in their home or a center-based facility can contact me at 906-250-0384.
It sounds daunting, but we need people in that field, and there is, as Julie Catherino said, there is help available. So if you're thinking about it, get in touch and follow up, because you are needed if you are able to do this and are one of those who could provide good quality childcare. And Iola Brubaker, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, and if someone wants to get involved and they're not interested in opening a childcare, but they have a building or they have some funds or they have an idea, please reach out to me at the Treehouse Indoor Playground through the Keweenaw Family Resource Center. I'd be happy to put you in connections with some other people with ideas and see what we can make happen.
It's not going to be solved overnight, but a step at a time, and it's something we do have to keep addressing. Thanks to Iola Brubaker, thanks to Julie Catherino, and Copper Country Today continues in a moment.